All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
All right, let's open our Bibles. We'll take the declaration of the glory of the Lord. Let's read Psalm 97. We'll read 9 verses there. The book of Psalms 97. We'll do from verse 1 to verse 9. What are we doing? We're taking a declaration. All right, so 1 to let's go. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples have seen his glory. Let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion heard this and was glad, and the daughters of Judah have rejoiced because of your judgment, O Lord. For you are the Lord most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let's read verse 9 again. You are exalted far above all gods. One more time. For you are the Lord most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Heavenly Father, we've gathered before you again this morning. Lord Jesus, we submit ourselves to you again this morning. Feed us with the fresh bread from heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. We open our hearts. Lord, we've not gathered for any other thing than to hear from you. We know that is life. We know that is life. Thank you for gathering us, putting the spirit that desires you in us. It's your doing. We acknowledge you, O God, and we receive that insight. We receive what you have planned for us this morning by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Because of that, we declare as follows. That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, as a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. All right, let's start today by reading from the book of Genesis again. Genesis chapter 49. You know, I think, was it last time I said, I wanted to quote a particular scripture. And I didn't quote it. At the end? No, not that one. This one is somewhere at the beginning, actually. Yes, it's somewhere at the beginning. I'll quote it today. That's I was opening to it, but you know the way it happens sometimes, you just go to something else. But later on, I then realized that, wow, I didn't do that. When I was trying to explain that some people say that if anybody that, you know, this doctrine of once saved, always saved, that I think most people have come to, some people will stubbornly stick to what they want to believe. It's fine. But I think at an average, person who's willing to look through the scriptures should by now have found out that there are too many scriptures to explain away. You know, there's a way you'll be explaining and explaining and explaining, you will explain tire. And yet, one day one of our brothers called me. He was so upset. He mentioned one big man of God, you understand? He said, sir, I saw this old man sweating, trying to defend something that cannot be defended. He said he was there sweating. Brethren, you know, one of the reasons why we try to defend what can be defended is that we are helpless in our situation. We feel helpless. So we want to justify and explain away, and we want to make ourselves comfortable. Now, let me say something to you, please. If you are listening to this, somebody is listening to this, and you know that's what your problem is. Okay? is called the sleep of death. It's the sleep of death. What happens is this. If you're, there are some of these poisons, like carbon monoxide, they don't make anybody feel uncomfortable. They just knock the fellow off. Just feel comfortable, you sleep off. But just that you never wake up. One man, I read the story many years ago. I think I was in university. It was very instructive, stuck in my mind. He said he was lost, you know, in the, well, he was out in the cold, and I think he was lost or something. So he was trying to find his way, and it was cold. You know, I mean, an average Nigerian doesn't understand. You're just watching the film. The best way to understand, they just enter a freezer and stay there. That's how cold those winters can be in some countries. You go to a place like Canada, in the northern part of America, United States, it can be that cold. If I remember, about 2-3 years ago, a family spent all their money, sold everything they had, moved the money to get there from India or Pakistan, managed to get to Canada with the intention of walking across to the United States. You know the way Canada and United States, they have thousands of kilometers, their border. So there are lonely areas you could manage to walk across. They had plotted it. A man, his wife, and I think 2 or 3 children. Anyway, had to be under the cover of dark. Great mistake. They found them the next day. Of course, they are all frozen to death. They sold their land, sold everything to try to migrate, and then they froze to death. So this man I was telling you about, this is what happened to him. It was on, that kind of journey was moving. They suddenly, you know, all the while he's been shivering and all of that, shivering. Then suddenly he felt comfortable. He felt like lying down in the snow and sleeping. But he had enough knowledge not to be deceived. The moment he had that feeling, he said, I'm dead. You know what he did? He got up and started running. He made it, that's why he could tell the story. If he had laid down to sleep, he would have found his body again the next day. He would have died. That's what I mean by the sleep of death. When you start getting comfortable inside a bad thing, that's why I pray all the time for people. I say, may you not prosper disobeying God. It's very crucial. You know, this life we are living in, it extends into eternity. So this 100 years here, let's just make 100. It's nothing. It's better to be uncomfortable for 100 years and then be comfortable afterwards. See, tolerate your discomfort, but don't ever compromise the truth to make you more comfortable. That's why many people believe things that are not true. Not because, you know, I told you, doctrine is not intellectual. It's a state of the heart. You can't reason it, argue it out. No, I've noticed that. Once you live long enough, you will notice it. If you like, have all the scriptures. If somebody does not, because every truth you get into puts responsibility upon you. So many times we resist truth, not because of truth in itself, but the responsibility that will go with it. And many times people, it's a matter of guilt. What you want me to accept now will make something I did 5 years ago wrong. And I can't undo it. I did it 5 years ago. It now makes it wrong. Like if I believe what they're telling me now. So how do I go back to undo what I did 5 years ago? Now you want me to start living with guilt. Now the person is thinking. So you know what happens? He resists. He rejects the truth. Now, let me tell you something, believers. God is very merciful on ignorance. No, he's very merciful on ignorance. What he doesn't have mercy for is refusal to be corrected. That one, once correction comes and you say no, mercy has ended. You now step into what the Bible calls sin unto death. The only correction that can come now has to come the hard way. Mercy doesn't disappear all of a sudden because God, because of his love for us and all of that, which is what he did with Israel. He showed Israel as an example.
But he said, this one, I will judge them. I will punish them. I will send them into exile. Then I will not have mercy upon their children. I will not bring those ones back. So what he does is correct. That's what I've been talking about this year. He brings correction. See, no matter how uncomfortable correction makes you feel, just hear it. Don't argue against it. What about what I did that was wrong 5 years ago? Leave it for the Lord. He will handle it. I saw a woman teaching on TV, of course, you get those videos. Somebody shared it. No, I think I was on YouTube. I saw it. And what he was preaching was very sound, all right? Sound doctrine. But when I saw the excitement and everything, I said, that's very nice. But you will learn another level of truth later. He was trying to explain. Now, please, get me. I'm not trying to say he's wrong. He's 100% correct. But the one thing about accuracy is that next year you will come back and realize that what you said was 100% today was actually only 50%. But as of today, it's 100% because that's all that's available. We know that from Priscilla and Aquila teaching Apollos. Apollos was expounding the doctrine accurately, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. Then Priscilla and Aquila came, being acquainted with the doctrines of Christ, the death of Christ, resurrection, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. They took him aside and began to show him a more accurate level. So this man was explaining something, and I want to use as an illustration. He said, God knew Jonah would disobey, which is not a lie. God knows a lot of things. And that he had planned that when Jonah disobeyed, Jonah would be swallowed by the fish. And then we'll know the truth that the fish released Jonah. Anyway, but people saw Jonah and then they reported how it came about. And that's why everybody believed him. Sound nice. So there's the wisdom of God. I said, this is very true. Okay? It's another level of truth. This is what you would think when God has forgiven you. Anytime God forgives you, you think it's a plan. I don't know whether I get my point. When they were shouting, in fact, the person shared the video was so excited. Oh, revelation! I smiled. I said, guys, it is correct. But this is what happens when God forgives. We start thinking it's a plan. His forgiveness is so powerful. Eh? You start thinking the iniquity is a plan. It's not your fault, though. It's how great his mercy is. After all, who took over from David as king? Who gave it to Solomon? No, answer me like you are awake and alive. Who gave it to Solomon? How did Solomon get Bathsheba? So, okay, I'm hearing different things. Somebody said he cornered her. See, you know, we can't, it's hard for us to say how he got Bathsheba. It's embarrassing. Even the Bible is embarrassed about it. The scribes, when they were writing, they said David did everything, except for the case of Uriah was a dark spot. Except that's what brought up Solomon. And go and check the birth of Solomon. He said, God loved him and sent him a special name. Everybody has a born their children, they give any name they like. A prophet came and named Solomon. That's how much God loved Solomon. So, if I actually had a preacher teach, I don't know whether that's what he said, but one of our sisters that time, a friend of mine, she came from church and came to report to me. They went for a convention. The things that they learned and all of that. When she said that one, the thing the pastor said, like, did he really say that? Did he really say that? I feel like, look, my sister, come, calm down. That could not have been what he meant. You know what he said? That anything you want, God will find a way to give you that, even if it's somebody else's. That's why I said that. I'm not sure he said that. My sister heard it wrongly. And he was trying to explain Bathsheba's arrival in David's house. But it's always like that when God has shown you mercy. Where God said you should not go, you went there. God will punish you there, flog you there, then give you a wife there. And the wife will be the reason why you will succeed in life. She will help your destiny, your calling, stand with you. All your life, you'll be like, God bless you. Ah, this woman. Oh. Thank God I disobeyed God. They will now be telling your boys, if God said you to go somewhere, don't go. Go out somewhere else. He will beat you there. He will flog you, but you will come out of the place with a good wife. It's a lie. It's misinterpretation of mercy.
Yes, sir.
So by the time you teach your children like that, all of them will disobey God and fail thoroughly in life. Because now you are mocking God. You are taking the grace of God in vain. You forgot that that was a manifestation of what?
Mercy.
Why am I telling this story? So, instead of rejecting doctrine because of something you did wrong 5 years ago, acknowledge your iniquity. Then let him fix the error of 5 years ago. You can't do anything about it. Don't put too much energy into restitution. I've seen people try to do restitution and say, see, I know God enough. This restitution is what will now kill you. Your sin could not kill you. Your righteousness will now kill you. It happens. No, what I've told you happens. So, I've seen people try to undo their past wrongs. And I say, God, this guy will die. Two things. One, it's an insult. You're insulting God. He said, I forgive. And you are saying, no, you didn't forgive. Let me do my own. That's one. Number two, when God has forgiven you, face the direction he's leading now. Stop trying to fix the past. Do you follow my point? Now, so in trying to fix the past, you will miss the current direction. Again, mortal sin. It's not everything you can fix. The man I keep on thinking of, I don't know what happened to him after, but that was the one I just said, God, you know, pastors, please, learn the word of God and teach people right. I've seen too many bad counsels. I heard too many bad counsels given by pastors. I said, how will you do that? A man made money for himself, did well, doing dirty business, you know, prostitution, arranging women, pimping and stuff like that. Then, of course, when God finally got hold of him, it's good, he repented and all of that. He was not trying to start an organization to rescue trafficked girls. I said, what are you? United Nations, Abi. What are you? UNICEF. You cannot... Please, let's be very careful. It's not everybody that God gives that kind of job. Say, that's how you discover your destiny. No, leave it. But when I saw that one, God didn't send it. You know, you may say, how did you know? Just trust me that I knew. Sometimes I have this descending spirit that my wife used to wonder that, this man, when she first knew me, she didn't know there were people who had this kind of discernment. I would just look at her and say, somebody is preaching. I would be sitting there, I just cross my leg. I tell my wife, that guy is a false pastor. So what did I say? He's fake. How did I know? I don't know. Someone will just speak three lines. I said, this guy is a fake pastor. And everything he said is correct. Except that his spirit will just pass through from that television and say, no, this guy is a fake pastor. One was preaching one day, I watched him. I said, this guy, he will soon get injured. He's not called. They give him a title. He's managed the pulpit. 2 years later, the man died. I told my wife, Shebe, I told him. How did you know? I don't know. I was just listening to him. I don't know if you have been in this thing long enough. See, it's not because of agitation. There are people who are agitated, they are not called. There are those who are very calm. They talk very slowly, but they are called. So it's not by that. This man, I looked at him that day. I just shook my head. In that moment, I didn't even hear him talk. I saw his pamphlet. When I just read the story, I felt like, I didn't even know him. I felt like, okay, come. See, God has forgiven you. If you have a wife, if you have children, just raise your kids properly. Teach them well. This trying to undo your past will not work. You will give the gospel a bad name because God will not give you grace to do this thing you are doing. What am I trying to say? Don't reject truth because it's uncomfortable. Accept it, let it do its work. What did I say? Because it's uncomfortable.
Let it do its work.
Truth knows how to do its work. Doesn't need you.
Let me just read that scripture. Let me just read it because I promised it that time. And some people, maybe they listen to the message. Yeah, the man finished preaching. He didn't quote the scripture I wanted to quote. Now, that's what I just want to quote. Then we're now going to do this message. Romans chapter 11. Let me just start from verse 20. Quite was saying something. He said they were broken off for their, he was talking about the natural Israel. They were broken off from their, for their unbelief. But you stand how? By your faith. So you are in Christ because of your continued faith. You can't deny that faith and still tell me you are in Christ. Which is what some people who preach, once you have ever given your life to Christ, you can never lose your salvation. That's what they say. You only stand because of your continued faith. Please bear that in mind. It is by that holding on to faith that you stand. Okay? Now, and I said in the next verse, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Behold then the kindness and the severity of God. Now, kindness is to those, to those who fell, severity. But to you, what? God's kindness. Because God's kindness is eternal. Is that what he said? What did he say? If you continue in his kindness. Please, if language means anything, what does this imply if you don't continue in the kindness? It means you fall into severity. There's severity, there's kindness. Kindness has been shown to you, and you will continue in that. Kindness will be yours if you continue in the kindness. Otherwise, finish it for me. Please read it for me. Otherwise, so a Christian can be cut off. I know they've entered the laboratory now to cook the interpretation of this. You want to defend what cannot be defended. You want to know what? I checked this in many translations. Apart from the fact that it's illogical, it is very logical. But I also checked it in many translations, and they all say the same thing. The kindness of God, which brings you salvation, you have to continue in it. You stand only by faith. If you reject that faith, you are cut off. Please, nobody should tell you it cannot happen. There are so many scriptures. This is just the one I wanted to add to it. This one is so explicit. We don't have to dig. It's clear. Kindness that brings salvation is yours. But you have to continue in it. If you don't continue in it, you also will be cut off. Please, let me just quickly say this. I'm not saying that every offense that a Christian commits is a damning offense. I didn't say so. If it was so, then John chapter 1, and so 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, wouldn't need to exist if we shall confess our sins, which means that we can sin, we can confess, we can be forgiven. Is that not so? Uh-huh. So we are not saying that, oh, I did something wrong, but for someone to tell you that if you continue in sin, you are still saved is a lie. A Christian repents constantly. Repentance is part of your life. I think I've almost added to this message. Repentance is what? Part of your life as a Christian. That constant repentance. You know why? John said it like this. Okay, let's just open to it. Please, we'll come back to Genesis chapter 49. But let me just quickly highlight something here. 1 John chapter 1. From verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, listen to this, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Now, if we say we have no sin, this is where many people get confused. We are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, however, he's saying, is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, this can be tricky to understand. I mean, since I was in university, we have always had debates on this, at least discussions trying to get what he was saying. But I'll just summarize it without taking you line by line, trying to explain this and this. Let me just summarize everything. First, when these people wrote, that's John and the other apostles, they, don't forget, they usually are responding to something. Questions have been sent to them. Arguments had arisen inside the church that God reported to them, and they are answering the matter back. Unfortunately, many times we don't have any, you have to read in between the lines to know what they are trying to answer. But at least let's try and get the answer they give, okay? Now, this is what John was saying in summary here. A number of words I want you to understand. Light, darkness. Now, anytime you're walking with God, anything you don't know about life, all right, you're walking in darkness in that area. Are you getting my point? Yes. Okay. Now, there's one problem with light. Anytime light comes, in fact, it has happened to me before. I was rushing to church in the morning, and there was power failure or something. Years ago. So I rushed. Those days, we used to wear suits and all of that. I mean, English, you get my point. Hey, trouser, shirt, tie, and then a jacket on top of it. So I took my jacket. I got to church, trying to enter the church. Only by that time, it was brighter. I left early. It was early morning. Only to discover that I was wearing black trousers and I took blue jacket. That is, I took the wrong jacket for the trousers. They didn't match. You know, there are something you can't predict. This one, it was so off. And the pastor of the church that time liked everybody to wear this suit. So I'm sure he was a bit surprised. I showed up with a shirt and tie. I didn't wear my jacket and I had to do some things in church. Later, I said, okay, not vexed. So I had my jacket. But when I got to church, when light shone upon my clothes, that was when it exposed the deeds of darkness. You know, the church didn't have light. I was still wearing it too. And everybody will be confused. They say, you wore a very nice suit today. They were just seeing a silhouette. They didn't see the color of the thing. That's what happens. When light comes, it reveals. When light comes, it reveals what you thought was normal. Light will reveal it to be a dark thing. And we keep on walking into brighter light every day as believers. We are supposed to. So something you did yesterday that was normal. New life comes suddenly. You know that God is not pleased with it. And that's why, please, small digression here. Stop quoting David when you want to justify iniquity. Just because David did it. Let me tell you, God was so unhappy with some of those things that David did. Very unhappy. Do you know, the Bible never told us how many wives David had and concubines. It was embarrassing. They just stopped talking about it. Solomon, they could talk about it. Do you know why? We know how he ended. So, like, don't mind him. Nonsense guy. You know that kind of thing. They just package the whole story. But David's story, it was painful. So, you have to have wisdom to count the number of wives David had. When you see Solomon has 700 wives and 300 concubines, he learned it from somebody. And it's not me. When David left, ran away from Absalom, he left concubines in charge of the palace. They were the ones that Absalom defiled. Like I say all the time, David's first sons were born by 6 different women. And it's not as if it's only men, boys that they used to have in Israel. After all, where would the women have come from that were delivering the boys? Just like today, it's average 50-50. So by the time no woman had the opportunity to have a second son before 6 had had sons, it gave me an idea that 12 women were pregnant. Yeah. For us to have 6 sons, Before any other woman had a chance to have a second son, a lot of women were pregnant. I saw one pastor talking the other day, the only person I've heard say it apart from myself, was preaching, he said something, I can't remember exactly what he said now. He said, no, David was too busy sleeping with women. I said, you're not lying. No. David was actually too busy. When he's not fighting, honestly, and you want to know the truth, that's why he died very early. At the time he died, Abraham had not been called. It's not war that killed him. He did not fight more than Joshua. What did he fight? Joshua was also fighting. Joshua fought and fought and fought and lived years longer than David. Now, fight we never see before. After all, David, a lot of the fighting he did, it was not even himself. No be Joab. No be Abishai. It's not Asahel. These are the boys who were doing a lot of the fighting. He was a commander. I'm not saying you didn't fight. I know you fought, but it's just that. Well, I'm just saying that could not have explained the deterioration of his health so early in life. The other men, when they lie down and call Israel together, David, he lay down, they sent one girl to go and warm him up. They knew Agar's bad habits. I say this jokingly, that they looked and said, a guy cannot maintain temperature again. Where did the temperature go? They knew where it went, so they took a young lady as a representative of all the witches that took his body temperature regulatory mechanism. Say, go and put it back. And they had to tell us. David did not know this one, no. Because normal David, how can he know this one? Where will he see energy from? Don't that thing takes energy? Pastor Levi, does it not take a lot of energy? It does. They say, David, don't know this one. Go and know it first. Your heart will fail there. Sorry, David, you're just the part of you that the scribes don't like talking about. I have to warn my brethren about it because they are using you as an example. So after all, David married many wives and God was happy. Who told you? God was pained. God just managed the thing, just overlooked it. We have light. That's why we don't go the David way. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Light is the reason why we don't. In that area, David walked in darkness. Solomon walked in greater darkness. And I shouldn't compare myself who has light with people who are walking in darkness. And anytime light comes, that's what I'm talking about. So what John was saying, when he said, if you say we have no sin, what he means is that if you say you have no sin, you are saying you know everything there is to know. He said, bro, if you think you have no sin, it's because light has not yet shone on that area. When light comes, you will have to start confessing. There are many things we think are not sins and are sins. Because it is not adultery, it is not cheating, it is not murder, it is not lying, and all of that. But a man like Samuel will tell you, God forbid I should sin against him by not praying for rebellious people. He said, if I didn't pray for Israel, it's a sin against God. That's Samuel. Do I need to tell you how many people are sinning against God in Nigeria today? But God just looked at it. Said, leave them. They are still in ADC. No, it's ADC. It's a political party. If you pray for this country, people tell you you're in APC. I've been accused of it. My classmates call me APC pastor. For one reason, I'm always speaking well of my country. I speak well of the government. You know the funny thing? They forgot the time there was a time I was a PDP pastor. You know why? The government that time was PDP. And they said, you are burying your head in the sand. I said, leave it there. It doesn't concern you. wherever you are burying your own head, how has it helped the country? No, you have to tell the truth to who? You are here, you know, raising a negative spirit. I'll be honest with you. I was surprised because in my neighborhood, we've not had power since yesterday. I thought it was, when I opened the news, they said there was grid failure. So I thought there was grid failure everywhere. Only for me to step into Kingdom Hall this morning. And grid did not fail here. But you know the reason? It usually recovers fast. Someone tell you that this is the 17th grid failure this year. I said, you forgot the other part. It's the 16th recovery has already happened. So sometimes the grid fails, it lasts an hour, it lasts two, it lasts a few hours. Before they finish the reporting, it has been corrected. But it's never headline news that has been corrected. It's never headline news. It's one subtle comment. The next time you hear that the grid failure was corrected is when next it fails. They say, how can it fail again? I thought it failed 2 months ago. It failed and recovered after a few hours. But it was not headline news that it recovered. What am I trying to say? So it is possible for you to be generating negative attitude in the people by always reporting what is wrong. It's very possible. So many people don't contribute faith into the environment. I have a duty to contribute faith. You know, many people in Enugu here, we don't obey traffic rules. You know that. Including my good brother, who I saw this morning blow past red light. He didn't know I was there. He was rushing to come here. I won't mention his name. Be here early. I don't know what he was. Maybe he was breastfeeding or something. I don't know. He didn't come early. So he was rushing to get here on time. Now the guy blew past. He didn't know that same red light don't hook me. Now I see my own brethren blow past full speed. In fact, I saw the car coming. I didn't even know who it was. I said, why this guy did run like this? I said, at least this red light go hold on for where? The guy blew past the red light. Eh? I said, God, these are not my people. I couldn't believe myself. I said, Pastor Banky, sorry for you. I said, sorry for me. The rule I couldn't break. They are breaking them on my behalf. So we have, you get my point? They are breaking my portion. The people I'm preaching about, they are under the table right now because of shame. Iniquity can remove confidence from people. Now, you know where I'm going, eh? Why I told that whole story is that if you know what I go through to make sure I obey those rules. Now, listen to this in case you do not know. For me, it's a personal arrangement between me and God. I don't want to give you details. It's personal. Say, Banky, you are praying against disorder. You are praying for law and order and all of that. This is one thing you must do. When they say no parking, I can't park there. No, I can't. It's not because of the cameras that are not installed everywhere. It's just me. I can't. I say, you guys don't understand. I'm dealing with something different here. Once the light turns red, I hit my brakes too. And I'll be there. Grumbling. Knowing that grumbling is a sin too. They have to not repent of grumbling. You get what I'm saying? It looks like small, small things. Don't worry. With people like me, you don't need law enforcement on traffic. God enforces his law on me all the time. I know. I don't obey traffic rules because of the society. It's out of fear of God. And light came. A lot of people don't bother because they've not had the kind of light God shone on it for me. So why are we Christians? Okay? When John said that, if you say you have no sin, John is saying to you that light never come. Some of you, or some of us, not to know you, now let me ask the whole thing. And I keep telling people, listen to this. There are few households where you find everybody is a serious believer. There are very few. If you find a household where everybody is a serious believer, most of the time the parents are serious Christians. For most households where the parents just are normal people, you get my point? Uh-huh. You have children, maybe 5 children, one of them is on fire. Another one goes to church. The dad to come to church 2 or 3 times a year, Easter, Christmas, and crossover. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I've seen that thing again and again. Sometimes, oh my father, the one that's not a problem, that sometimes you not have in that family a real troublesome human being that is the opposite of the man of God there or woman of God there. There's one woman of God in that family, hot for God. There are 5 in the family. There are 3 that you don't know whether they are for God or against God, or you don't know. Then there's one that is squarely against God. Completely. Now, where I'm going is that, do you know that one person that is on fire? Now, first, let me just tell you, if you are the one that's on fire, first, don't ever feel better than the rest. And what I want to say is true to a very large extent. Okay, maybe not 100%, but a very large extent. Actually, why many of them are not serious is because God didn't give them the grace to be serious. Because the little grace available, He packed everything on you. So your seriousness is not your doing. It's God say, how do we manage this situation? All these people will go to hell. So what do we do? Scrape, scrape, scrape. That boy goes smoke. Let him smoke. The little grace that will live for him will only prevent smoking. It don't make him serious in life. So remove it. Let him smoke. Put on this. By the time they gather all the grace, now your head they fall. So God now says, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. What am I going to say? See those your 4 siblings? Because if any day passes, I don't hear from you about them. It's a sin. You can be getting angry. Until you heard this, now you've been angry all your life. You don't know why your brother is like this. You don't know why God says, this is how you are too. This is how you too. That's how you are. That is how you are. So, what have I done? Just trying to help your lineage, because families, lineage, there's something about them. I've not put the doctrines together, but I've thought about it for years. There is something about sometimes, was it last year I talked about the judgment of spirits? Yes. I'm still developing that thought, okay? There's something about it. Every lineage, family, God has something. He will sit down and tell what will happen. We're going to read it again. He called his children. Let me tell you what will happen to you later. You will scatter Reuben, Simeon, and Levi all over Israel. Meanwhile, the Simeon you are talking to, he's dying in the next few years. How do you scatter a man? You want to cut him to pieces? His ear will be in northern Israel. His leg will... No, now. It's his descendants. We know. So, what concerns his descendants with him? Are they not supposed to be individuals of their own? This life is very complex. So, when God was calling prophets, he said, where's that one from? He said, Reubenite. No, it can't be a prophet. He didn't do anything. When God wanted to make kings, where's he from? He's a Reubenite. No, now he can't have preeminence. And the boy has not done anything. So when God was looking for a replacement for Saul, he didn't start in Reuben. I used to say he started from the old. He didn't. He said, Reubenites, no, remove them. Levites, no, leave them. I suspect he started from Judah, straight. Jump Reuben, jump Simeon, went to... Why? The boys, they did not do anything. I'm talking about sin. So when you say we have no sin, that's what John meant. Say you don't know anything. That's why you say you have no sin. You that the last 5 years you have been angry with your brother because he sold your father's house. You have been angry with him. And you know when they sell your father's house and they share with you, maybe it's okay. When they sell it, they don't share with you. He married the second wife and smoked the rest away. And now, He needs you to help him pay his children's school fees. And you tell him she's going to collect rent from the house he sold. As a sign of repentance, call him, take up the bill of one of the children. Say, just pass the jam. Say, don't worry, I finished it when he finishes university. It's a sign of repentance. Because all this is why you have been angry. That, oh yeah, now, when I was telling him that time, you know what I've noticed these days, eh? Human behavior is not within a man. That's what it is not within a man to direct his steps. Now, I'm more convinced that human behavior is not within you. You only, read my book, Choice Key to Destiny, you only have pivotal points in which you can make choices to redirect your life. If you didn't make it, see, that which you do not want to do, you will do. That the one you know it is right to do, you will not do. Because the spirit that is controlling you is bigger than you. Go and read my book. Someone is controlling you. Sometimes you will sit down and see. My wife and I were still talking this morning. You see a man make a decision that is bad about his own life. And you, looking from outside, you know where it will end. You're wondering, how come he can't see it? You know the truth? He can't see it. The how come is another story. Ah, when I see the role of God in this life sometimes, that's why people are angry with God. Because God will look at a man and tell Moses, I have hardened his heart. Preach all you want. I said he will not believe you. That is, no matter the effort Pharaoh put into believing Moses, God didn't grant it to him. So he went Moses ahead. I'm just doing this to complete things. So you will go and tell Pharaoh this. He won't agree. Moses said, why not? He said, I did not give him the power to agree. In fact, I withdrew the agreeing power from him. I hardened his heart. Now the question is why? I'm not discussing that now. There's always a why. But just know, God refused him the power to agree. There was nothing Judas could do. He would betray Jesus Christ. The moment he entered that ministry, betrayal was his portion. The decision was made long ago. Why am I talking about this? So the vex, where the vex of your brother, say you sell house, now you can't pay children's school fees, is beyond just wrong choice making. Not that time. When he was selling the house, you think he was thinking? After he sold the house for just a little over half of what it was worth, you think he was thinking? He wasn't thinking. So you would just show your, now, what I'm talking about sin. Is that not sin I'm talking about? Meanwhile, all you have been doing, you sold that house maybe 5-10 years ago. All you've done since that time is anger. You've been angry with him. So when something goes wrong in his life, you sit your wife down and say, I told you that he said it's not correct. I told you, God said, do you know why he said it's not correct? There was no grace for correctness for his head. And why was there no grace? Because the little grace available to your whole family, I had to put on only you. Because these things are measures. Spiritual things have measures. So, why did I do that? So that you will stop being angry with him. So what you are going to do, every morning, you will forget his anger. As a sign that you have forgotten, yes, he has 3 children. One of them entered university now. You know he can't pay. And you can pay. Just call it. Like we were saying yesterday, I didn't say be nice to him. Become his friend so that he can be troubling your soul. That's not what I mean. Love is action. We talked about it yesterday. Maybe you're even angry with him. Tell your wife to call his wife to ask after the son. And don't worry, she will whine for you. Oh, certainly she will whine for you. We don't know how we are going to eat now. You know your brother-in-law, he has done this. You know. I said, ask about one person. How is he doing? He gained admission. We are just trusting God. That's how people ask you for help. When they say they are trusting God in your hearing. It's Christian talk. So just say, okay. My husband said he should send his school fees bill. And I contact the young boy. From now, you will send me your result at the end of every semester. In return, the next semester, I will give this amount of money every month. And let his father know. Don't talk to his father. Because you're not trying to make friends. However, you have to repent. Then this time around, start praying. Now, I don't want to say something so as to scare people. No, I won't say it. Okay? But just start praying. Okay, no, I need to say it because you won't understand the importance. Because you may not see the result in his life. Partly because you started too late. Partly because it was not meant to be. But if you pray, God will save his children. He will. He will. He can't. Those boys are doomed. If you leave them for him. Pray for him. God will save his children. That's why I didn't want to say it initially, not to discourage people. Because, this life, some boys say, go commit armed robbery, they shoot them. They couldn't do otherwise. There was nothing they could do. They had to be thieves. Nobody offered intercession. Nobody offered prayer. Nobody taught them anything. So one day God looks. Nobody's praying for this one. Nobody has time. Society is angry. Just tell one policeman, next operation, kill him. They don't hear all of these things. They just go on, they ha ha ha. Bam! One policeman just shoots him. Of course, which makes sense. It's an armed robber. He's robbing people. Policeman doesn't have a choice. He either kills the boy or he allows him to injure innocent people. So he shoots him and we are angry with him who had no choice. You trace it back. Nobody, first, apart from being descendants of Ham, hey, I'm laughing. People, let's not talk about them. I'm talking about sin, right? So imagine the number of people, Christians who are committing sins. Their extended family is running riot, spoiling, and they don't know it's their fault. You see what I'm talking about? So light shines. Then suddenly, guilt comes. That's what John meant that. He said, you have not done anything wrong. He said, it's because you never... Let them bring light. See, there's no cloth. No matter how well you ironed it, washed it, dry cleaned it, there's a depth of light they will shine on it. You know, those who commit crimes, you know, they have a way. Maybe they kill somebody. There's blood everywhere. They clean up very well. Police knows where police do their investigation well. They know what they do. They look, the whole place is clean. The whole car is clean. They have a chemical they have used. They used to clean it also. Then put up all the light and shine their own light. Then suddenly, every place a bit of protein has dropped, which is what you find in the blood. You can see it clearly glows. It looks clean to the surface. They shine their own light on it. You see? They just see the pattern. So, see the blood pattern everywhere. This was the person who was shot. The bullet was have come from here. Then, light. This thing called light, eh? Yeah. It's too much. So in the same manner, many things you say, girls say, relax. If God brings light to you as a businessman, eh, you'll be afraid of tax law. The other day, I wanted to do something. I'm still processing it. It had to do with my car and road safety and some of the things they do. So God was looking at me like this. He said, we'll just do it like this. Now, at the end of the day, I just felt the Lord is looking like, Banky, are you all right? Are you all right? What you are doing, is there light? Is it honest? Is it just? Is you, you know? Is it open? Can it be? I'm looking at it like, oh. So what? Treat this thing as you're dealing with the Lord. Sit down with the Lord on this matter. Do you know, an average person does what I'm saying without thinking about it. I do some small things. And I'm wondering that about God. So this cannot go. Say, no, it can go. I said, I read my Bible. He said, only a madman tells a lie and says, I was only joking. He says, deceives his neighbor and says, I was just joking. So I stopped playing April Fool. God said, don't curse a deaf man. He didn't say you curse anybody anyway. But he particularly picked a man who can't hear. I heard one thing from it. Never take advantage of anybody's ignorance, disability, whatever. Don't. Don't. So I had a man who worked in the same institution as I did. He couldn't see, totally blind. So then we'll be having meetings. Some people will pinch me. You know, because a senior person could be a bit difficult. So they just pinch, like, we'll talk about it later. And I quickly reasoned in my head, if he could see, could he have done this? No. So I'll shout at the person, eh? What did you say? Did you say we'll see later? He's like, Frankie, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with me is that you want me to join you in taking advantage of somebody's disability. I can't. I'll be walking on the road, and not being a senior person, you understand my point? And I'm in a hurry. I know there's one thing about talking to senior people. You can't tell them you're in a hurry. Unless you know, some people don't have manners, all right? But some of us do manage more manners. We usually are a bit skinny. So there are times maybe my wife was like, have you called that in a while? I look, I say, I can't call her. Because if I call my father-in-law, as an example, he will end the call, not me. Do you get what I'm saying? I can't talk for a while and say that, okay, I just, no. So I usually check, okay, shall I have time? Then I call. I greet him, and then we start talking. How are you? How are the children? The conversation starts. We discuss the country, we discuss his health, discuss this, discuss that. If he's in a talking mood for 30 minutes, stay there for 30 minutes. When he's tired, the call ends. You get what I'm saying? Yes. So in the same manner I'm going on the road, this man is approaching. So sometimes I'm in a hurry. I want to quickly dodge and go so it doesn't stop me and start a conversation. The Holy Spirit helped me to understand. I check. If he could see, will he see me? Yes, so go and greet him. So as he's coming, even though I'm in a hurry, I said, no, normally he will have seen me. So I say, good morning, sir. Oh, how are you? I'm very, very fine, sir. Then he thought, I will stay there. But if I reason that normally, he probably wouldn't have seen me, then I go. As if I'm in a hurry. Of course, I should greet him normally if I'm not in a hurry. But the scripture just made it clear. You can't take advantage of his disability. I've been a Christian for a long time before I learned that one. So that's what John meant. That if there is no light, you say we have no sin. But it is a reflection of what you don't know yet. There are choices you make concerning your time. God says, it's ignorance that's worrying you. Who would have thought? Oh, okay, was it yesterday when we were doing the online study? We're just talking about some things. That, see, let me not even go to that one. Who would have thought, all right, that for somebody, yeah, we mentioned yesterday, that for somebody to tell the Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and take. I mean, the same God say, honor your father and your mother. And you're not telling him you want to go and obey that. He now said, anybody who wants to follow me, who does not hate father and father, cannot be my disciple. So suddenly, initially, honor your father and your mother, right? Then, following the Lord is before that. The day you recognize that, suddenly they tell you that, it's your father's birthday. It's your mother's birthday. You say, which day is it? Hey, I've already accepted it, preaching invitation for that day. Somebody says, no. How can you not go for your mother's birthday? I can't cancel a preaching invitation for it because God said no. No many of us won't do that. I told you the day my mother-in-law died, the next day I left my wife alone. And she was crying. Why will you do that? I said, how will I tell the people that I can't come? They have spent their money, they have hired a hall, they that advertised that I'm coming to preach. So they did the day before. One man did it the other day. They said, And my friend invited them to come and preach. He said, oh, their cousin died. Kineko, kineko, and the man didn't go. I just smiled. I said, if I'm the one, I will have gone. I'm not saying he did wrong. But by the light I have, the person has died. My going is to console the living. They can manage. You. Go and do the work that I sent you. That's what God said. It's light. An average person will do it and God won't say anything. But God, there's a degree of understanding he will give you. You do what is reasonable to an average person. And for you, it is a sin. I was just explaining this to let us understand what John meant in that first chapter 1. All right, when he was talking about if we're walking in the light and all of that. So what the Lord expects that each time he brings understanding to you, even if something happened 5 years ago and you remember it, just acknowledge your iniquity. That's what God is saying. He's not saying correct, you can't. Just say, the way I did that was wrong. In light of the light of today. You understand? In the light of the understanding I have now, that was wrong. You know, I thank God for insight. Thank God for understanding. I just feel like going in this direction some more. And ladies, be very careful. Married women, I mean. And if you're single, you know, one of our sisters asked me the other day, he said, Pastor, I want to ask you something. That my cousin was about to get married. Is it a cousin or nephew or niece, you said? A niece. A month before the wedding, the guy said, no, I won't marry again. Came to see the parents, I don't want to marry her again. And they didn't quarrel, though. They didn't fight, though. He dropped one or two hints of some things he doesn't like. He doesn't like that, she did that. So, this my sister here was confused. What is going on? People will now tell you that it is a spirit, the witchcraft. They are trying to stop. I said, no. But now I heard the story. I said, this is a painful part of it. That young woman will never think she did anything wrong. She will never. Unless she gets somebody that has understanding to explain. And you remember the story I told you that day to illustrate it? I said, what the guy just perceived. It's a simple thing. Lack of honor from this woman. That's all. And he decided that he couldn't live with it. And let me tell you, most men can't live with it. Ladies, they say, men love respect. That is the most stupid statement an adult woman can make. Do you like oxygen? I don't mind that she likes to breathe. These children, they like breast milk. You can see that your own head is not correct. Does a baby like breast milk? He needs it. That's his life. You enter the military and say, these senior officers, they like salute. Are you ever going to the military to say it? Even in America, in Europe, where there's a lot of laxity and all of that, they don't have some of these African, Asian respect culture, which we still maintain. It does not enter into the military. When you see the degree of discipline in the military sometimes, I remember when I served in the military. My NYSC was in, for those who know, 3rd Mechanized Battalion. Then we're in Jonathan, in 30. I was in the military for my whole service year. So I learned some military culture. So my guys were not joking. They only say, which one of us would like to join the army? I said, so that, you know, me and the guy talking is a doctor. I said, oh, you want me to enter into spasm every time I see a superior officer? He laughed. We're just joking about it, okay? I saw military culture. You know, the other day, one of our brothers, he may even be listening to this, is a high-ranking military officer. He came here. So later in answer, please, could you talk to me? And I was like, okay, it's all right. Call between, like just say, I said, 1 and 2. Now, because sometimes when I want to concentrate, I put on my phone. So my phone was off. And I remember I said that you should call between 1 and 2. 5 minutes to 1, I put on my phone. 1 dot, the phone rang. I laughed at him. I said, you're a real military man. I said, ha!
You were real. He was laughing. I said, the way you guys behave. Where I'm going with all of this? Do they need discipline? Do they like discipline? No. If you are going to run a military, discipline is part of it. I served in the, I told you my NYC was in the military. If a soldier couldn't wear his boots, I was a doctor, I had to give him special permission not to wear boots. They're not at war. He's in the barracks. But he's not wearing his military boots. He has to say, oh, the doctors give me permission not to. Without discipline, it will fall apart. They can't win any battle without discipline. So when somebody says that, you know, I hear with some of these women preachers, they say, hey, ladies, men love respect. Please stop talking nonsense. It irritates us. We don't like respect. We don't love it. Your institution, your home needs it. It does. You can't say men love respect as more than you can say to your children, hey, mommy likes to be obeyed. You can't. So, you know, when they not make it look like, let's do him a favor. No, you're not doing him a favor. That is the only way there will be order. And like I say all the time, order in itself is prosperity. No, I've noticed, people like money, they're like, do you know, a very rich home where things are disordered. People do anyhow. Everybody enters the kitchen, do as they like. You understand? Plates are here, things are not, you know, and it's a very rich home. It's not as prosperous as the one that just average, but you enter, things are, you know, proper, where they are supposed to be. Everybody knows what they are supposed to do. That alone is prosperity. And many times you have money in life, one of the things you must use money to do is to put order in your home. Now, you know what I'm saying? This is, that day, when my sister and I were talking, I said, see, forget. That's the problem that, no, there's no witch on their matter. The guy just looked at it and said, I don't think I can do this. And she did not know. That's why I'm talking about it. She was not aware. She was living a normal, righteous life. Did not know a man can stand this normal, righteous life. One day, there's one of the people we know, my wife's friend. Her younger sister was getting married. And the man that's marrying her, and her, they went to a tailor's place. And they got there. The tailor had not done something. JK, you know what I'm talking about? Like, OJ, you know, they said, one day, where's the Olayinka? He told our guy, OJ something. He said, Yinka, I'm a tailor. Now we they post people. You can't be posting me. Yeah, he told Yinka, say, posting is our duty. Don't he said, no, you are a tax man. Don't post me. Don't post me. Do what we agreed on. So there was some issue there. So the lady now got into, you know, was angry. She was now throwing a fit. No, he said, just get there. So the husband was trying to put a word in. So after a while, the lady just went on and on and on and on. You know what the guy did? He gave her his car keys. They came together. Gave her his car keys, took a bike, and left. And so that when she's done, she can drive the car home or come and give it to him later. That he will collect his car later. And by the way, he's not marrying again. Yeah. He said, I'm not marrying again. She didn't offend him directly. She was not shouting at him. Was shouting with somebody else. When they were done, the guy just walked away. Let's just be that I abandoned you somewhere. Gave her his car keys. Those days, there were still bikes in Enugu. It's Enugu Hill. There were still bikes in Enugu. He called the bike, climbed the bike, and left. And sent her a message. Please, oh, this marriage is cancelled. I know they marry again. His preparation of the wedding is part of the reason why they went to that tailor. They can say, I know they do it again. And he was serious. He wasn't kidding. For him, two people can't wear trousers in this house. You have to choose who will wear the trousers. You know what I mean by trousers? Not literal. He said, no, that he won't. So either she's wearing or he's wearing. And he's not willing to have somebody else wear it. Sometimes ladies will not gather in meetings and be telling themselves, men love. That's nonsense. That's how you now think you are doing something that should be rewarded. Why am I talking about sin in that regard? Many times people don't even know. They don't even know. Sometimes, I told that once I saw a lady, Christian woman, she had one fat Bible. Obviously, that Bible was for social media. Because the Bible was large like this. I was talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit talks to you. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I told me and spiritual people, we have problems. I told you before. Yeah, no, no. Once I do your Holy Spirit, just don't come near me because don't let me go and don't let me go and touch the Lord's anointed. Let me just be like that. You say, you know, it's good to listen to the Spirit of God. You have to listen to the Spirit of God. That one day her husband was coming home and she was angry. You know, sorry, ladies in America, don't be angry with me. They are known for it. Black American women. They are known for their this boisterous, turbulent, thank you, the way they react to people. So what I'm going to do is that, so think about this woman is a black preacher. Just think of her background. You know, I said that her husband was running late, and this one, and that, you know. So she was angry, she was this, she was that. The Holy Spirit now told her, when he comes back, ask him, how was your day? And I ask him this, ask him that. That she now calm down, Holy Spirit, I had a fat Bible on her lap when she was telling me all these Holy Spirit things. Now, do you know, actually, it turned out that the husband had a rough day, and when they asked her, I was here, he now broke down and told him what happened, and then told her what happened, and she was saying, that's why it's necessary to listen to the Holy Spirit. I said, you see, when you have bad manners, normally, you need the Holy Spirit. I said, where people with good manners come, where they exist, Holy Spirit doesn't bother talking on things like this. Because if your boss was late, you couldn't talk to him this way. If your boss called a management meeting and told all heads of departments be there by 9, then he walks in by 9:30, you will stand up. Welcome, sir. Then you say, okay, please sit down. Oh, sorry, guys. I was late. My wife was fixing my breakfast and she was late. All right. I mean, she had to take all my kids to school. So, breakfast. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Breakfast. And you dare not get angry. If you get angry, don't worry. Like my wife used to work in the bank those days. Our boss, we say it's an appraisal issue. Anything, it wasn't a joke in my house. I tell my wife it's an appraisal issue. Anything you do, the man will tell you it's an appraisal issue. If somebody annoys him. Because he couldn't do anything. He said, it's an appraisal issue. The man comes 30 minutes late, doesn't he offer you any serious excuse? But you know what? You reflexly, defaultly forgive him. Do you know the reason? There's only one reason. What's the reason? He's the boss. There's one movie I saw some time ago. One of our brothers gave it to me. Beautiful movie because of some lines inside. This guy said, the boss is not always right, but it's always the boss. Why was I upset with that woman's message? I said, you see, you are not addressing the real issue. What wives need is not the ability to hear the Holy Spirit. It's the ability to have good manners and treat a man like he's the boss. I don't give Holy Spirit jobs that he doesn't do with your children. Do you get my point? Why do you give him that kind of job? And that he'll say, the Holy Spirit. See, that's why me and spiritual people, we get problems. You see them break simple order and say, Holy Spirit. I say, Oga Spiro, Madam Spiro, wait. This is common sense. Scriptural, basic scriptural sense. You don't need the Holy Spirit to say this to you. He has already said it in the Word. Why are you Holy Spiritizing the need for good manners? Ha! I saw one of those videos I did the other day. They were trying to talk about how to handle my relationship. I said, sorry. You talk to a man like this, he doesn't have to try. He can't love you. But then your husband starts saying, hey, as you like it now, as you like it now, just know you have made a mess of that house. Once your husband starts retorting back to you, as you like it, as you like it, as you like it. One woman, not a Christian, not a Christian, all right? She wrote something one day. I said, like my pastor used to say those days, if you live long enough, you will discover the word of God. See, if you're a scientist and you research long enough, you will discover the word of God. This woman is not a believer. She has gone through one divorce. After a while, she married another husband. And then she saw her divorce pattern. Okay. About to repeat itself. Then she panicked. I read this in British Broadcasting, that's BBC, their news, one of the articles. Then she went and learned how to relate. They call it, she used another word for it, not submit. But I said, this is what we Christians call submission. She didn't learn it from the Bible. Just one of the people that do things around, they were just teaching. So she went, attended one of the seminars, and they taught her this. And she just started, she just got home and started learning little things like, she and her husband wants to go out. Right, so they are going to the car. The husband had gotten used to she deciding which restaurant they will go. And doesn't like trouble. So now they were ready to go out. So he now says, so where are we going? He asked her, see, women, let me beg you. Once your husband starts talking to you like this, you have failed. You get my point? It's like it's defining to you on anything. You guys, two of you have failed. But they had taught her. So you know what she said? She just said, I was hoping you would have made up your mind. So the guy like, it was a shock to him. So they now talked about it. So the woman just insisted, you know, because I taught her that. No, just wait. Say, so where would we like to go? Well, you know, she deliberately took a back step. Finally, it may have been where she wanted, but the man was the one that decided it. And I said, okay, go. So they went. The next thing, she now made it a habit that the man kept on looking at her funny like, what's going on here? She now said something. Said little by little, she noticed some changes in the house. They are sitting on the couch. Without thinking, the man will just stretch his hand and put on her hand, that kind of thing. Maybe they are watching TV. He will stretch his hand and pull her in. She never asked for it. She just changed the way she related with him. And they are not a Christian community at home. That's what I mean by when you live long enough, you will discover God. She wrote it in the BBC that suddenly the love from him just woke up again. It had died down. It had cooled down. She knew she was heading for the second divorce in her life, and she's only in her 30s. She said, God. That's why she now wrote that article. She learned it somewhere. Maybe Christians taught her. I don't know. But she didn't say so. That's what I mean by when you live long enough, you will discover the word of God. That's what my pastor used to say those days. I was saying to Olori Daddy, I said, poor girl, she doesn't know. She didn't know. This woman I'm talking about, they don't know. It's when God brings light upon you. One day, a colleague of my young colleague, Tom just went into all of this. She said, she was so angry with her husband over something. How would you, they did something. Her father was ill. All right? She's a doctor. That's why I said she's a young colleague. You know the way it is these days? All her siblings are scattered here and there. She happened to be a bit close by. So her siblings decided that she, being around, will go and stay with her sick dad for a few weeks. And she came home and told her father and her husband that she will be going home to stay with her father for a few weeks. And she was shocked at how the man reacted. Ah, what's causing that one? What is it? The man is sick. He went down, down. So she now came to that day. I don't know what led to it. And it happened long before. In fact, that thing happened 6 months before this our conversation. So as I was now talking, when she was talking on that matter that day, I was not explaining to her that no, she's much younger than me, all right, much younger. So she listened, and me, apart from being her big boss. So she listened, I explained and explained. She said, ah, sir, was that what happened? I said, so your family is running his home for him. She opened her mouth, went home. Funny, went and knelt down and apologized to what happened 6 months ago, about what happened 6 months before. He said, sir, I did not know. I said, most of you don't know. And you're wondering what is wrong. I said, nothing was wrong with him. What just happened was that your family was running his own home. Ladies, listen, even when they don't talk, they don't like it. They won't say anything, though. But she just saw his body language and like, you don't want me to take care of my father. I said, that's not the point. It's just your brothers told him what to happen in his house. That's where you guys made the mistake. They should have sent you to ask him how he can help in this situation. Hopefully he will have suggested that, why don't you go and take care of your dad? You come and stay with us during the day, you know. I mean, spend a few hours with us, but I mean, it's just for a few weeks. They will have done it very gladly because he's a man just like your brothers. But they decided what will happen in his territory. Why did I sit on this? I know many people want to hear it. Yeah, I know how I got there. It's why I sat on it. I know how I got there. So many things we are doing that are wrong, we don't know. So when John said, if you say you have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's what he's saying. That the reason is because light has not entered into some areas in your life. That when we pour light there, you will see iniquity. See, there are those who vote and their vote is a sin. Yeah. They vote and it's a sin. Why? The reasons they voted the way they did, God said, is refusal to listen to my word. There are those who did the will of God. That is, they followed God's plan, but they missed the will of God in following his plan. What do I mean? God wanted them to go to, where I didn't go here. Maybe God wants them to go to, let's just say, Umahia. All right? But the reason why they will go to, so God had to manipulate them. You know, Jeremiah said, God has deceived me and I've been deceived. That's exactly what the literal Hebrew says. So my Bible says, persuaded me. No. What Jeremiah meant was that God has manipulated me. So sometimes God manipulates people into his will, into his plan. I don't want to use the word will, there's a reason. Manipulates them into his plan, but they did not obey his will in going there. I'll give an example. The Babylonians, was it the Assyrians or the Babylonians? God said that I will make him punish people for me. He said, but it is not in righteousness that he will punish them, that is not obeying me. He said, his desire is to plunder. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yeah. God said, I'm going to bring judgment against nations. So who will I use? Please, I don't have time to open that scripture now. Who will I use? I think it's the Babylonians or the Assyrians. He said, but they are not doing it in obedience. Let me give an example. Israel did the same thing against the Hittites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, in obedience. Do you follow my point?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they were in Egypt, settled. They had their issues. Then God told them, come. You will go there. And excited telling them, these people attack them, wipe them out. This one, take this. So each thing they did was in what? In obedience, which was what he meant by righteousness. He said, but for the Assyrians, no. He said their own is love to plunder. So I will judge their plundering spirit later. But now let me use it to execute my judgment. Do you get what I'm saying? A lot of us, we have done the will of God in disobedience. We have followed the plan of God in disobedience to his will. Now, you see why I'm saying that critically now? Because it's very important. There are those who married a woman or married a man, and the reason they did is a sin. For example, you are a church person, a Christian. You chose a wife because she's from your community, your natural community. It's iniquity. You were in church, three brothers wanted to marry. You are married now. Please, you'll see where I'm going in a moment. And the reason why you chose this one is because she's from your community. You want to hear the word of the Lord? It's a sin. You know what I'm saying? You have to repent of it without divorcing the man or the woman. I had to explain that one first but it's important for the destiny, for the future of that marriage, the destiny of your children, that you acknowledge your iniquity. I said today at the beginning by explaining that a man, I saw him preach and said, God knew that Jonah would disobey. God knew. I said, see, you're very right, except that you are describing when mercy has manifested. If that Jonah did not pray effective prayer, that fish would have digested him. In fact, the first Jonah was digested. But you don't read the story. And God didn't have time writing the story of one man who's fish manure or fish. God doesn't have the time writing the story. But when he has finished showing mercy, it will look like the right thing. So, and I said, if you did what was wrong 6 years ago, 7 years ago, that cannot be undone today. Don't worry. Just say to God, it was wrong. Now, don't say I married the wrong man. I don't want to say that. It's the principle, for example, you wanted to marry as a Christian. You knew the man or woman. It's not the only woman. You knew the person was not a serious believer, but he or she had money. And you put your head inside. That was 8 years ago. Brethren, you have to go back and say sorry. But you are married, God will make it look like it's the right thing. So somebody said, I think I married the wrong husband. Forget that. Say you are married. He can't be wrong. He can't be wrong. But you could have married wrongly at that time. But now, you are in covenant, it's not wrong. But you can go back, analyze your reasons. No, I was in church that day, I was ministering alongside one man. In fact, he said it. In fact, he didn't say it to me personally. I remember, he said it openly. How did you choose your wife that time? He said it was a very carnal reason. Now I know better. And he's been successfully. We met in your church last time. He came after, I think he came to minister also. That's when he came at the end and told me that thing I preached that day changed his marriage. Some of the things I just taught you now. He said, for 20 years, I've not been able to explain this to my wife. He said, you did it in 5 minutes. He said it openly. They have a good marriage. They've been married for 20 years. Is it about 20? Yeah, over 20 years. Over 20. He said it openly. People were talking about how they made their choice. He said, I married my wife for a carnal reason. He said, now I know better. But he likes the woman, no? He has not felt in mind out of the will of God. He said, but my reason that time, he said, when I saw the woman, she was so beautiful. Said, yeah. He said, now I know that beauty is vain. I'm not the one that said it. He's the one that said it. He said, when he saw her shape, he went mad. He pursued the woman only because of what she looked like. He didn't care whether she spoke in tongues or did not. He didn't check. Good enough, they were both Christians. You understand? But so all these other things. I'm not the one that said it to. He's the one that said it. He said, now I know that was the wrong thing to have done. But he's very happy he married the woman. He just said, young guys, don't pursue a woman because Many people have married Jezebel. Nahib Kosamu. You see, that's one thing about God's mercy. When he knows his ignorance, understand? But do you know, if God had given him light that time, and he had gone against it, oh my God, you go see suffer. You will say, I did not listen to my teachers. You go, they cry. Because God, this way he rearranges things. Say, this boy, not the hear word. Don't marry because of shape. Don't marry because of eyelashes. You're not here. When he says that this boy, not the hear. He said, Jezebel, do you have any descendant? From hellfire, Jezebel said, yeah. There's one down Okunanu side. I kept one there. The angel said, okay. Somebody will just invite her to church. And they will pour a spirit upon her. Lue, lue, lue. She could dance. Then she will shake the hips, flash the eyelashes, and God will tell him, see. And he will look. He will pursue and overtake and recover up. Then the spirit that God kept on her for 3 weeks, we leave. One day she'll now be dressing. He said, are you going to church? He said, no, my friend's having a birthday party. Where? He's at a groovy club. Ah, I said, which one is a groovy club? No, that nightclub that's off Zah Street. Ah. And you are going dressed like this. Are you not planning to come with me? Those same lashes and hips in front of you will go to a nightclub. She will come back drunk at 4 a.m. You know you are in trouble. God say, yes, you are. I will divorce with you. I hate divorce. Didn't you read your Bible? God will keep you there. You will suffer. See, 8 years, 10 years, you will suffer. Oh, God. You'll be separating fight. She will fight everybody in your neighborhood. And God will preserve the hips and the lashes for you to give you consolation. In the 15th year, God will just look and say, you don't suffer rich. It is enough. Two angels will now come, beat the woman very well, carry her, go to church. She will now say, brethren, do you know it's really today I'm giving my life to Christ. We knew. And you know, angels can do it, say, okay? Whether you believe or not, that's your problem. See that guy? God said, he has suffered enough. So he has received double for all the disobedience. So now you behave well from now. Do you understand? The angels will show her, say, we know the joke. Whether you believe or not, we don't care. Just behave. You know, say, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But when you don't know, God will use even your ignorance to bless you. But, because it's not just about you, it's about spirits, it's about your descendants. He will now bring the truth to you one day. Say, acknowledge your iniquity. He will bring the spirit, you know, he will bring the truth to you one day, and you must go back in time, in your mind, and say, that's like that man's testimony. The man said, then I didn't know. But he's very happily and successfully married. For over 20 years. You get the point I'm making? Yes. All right. The Lord is good. All of this, we're trying to explain what? 1 John chapter 1. So let's go back. Genesis chapter 49 again. Then Jacob summoned his sons and said, assemble yourselves that I may tell you what will befall you in the days to come. Gather together and hear, O sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, he said, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. Uncontrolled as water, you shall not have preeminence, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. Let my soul not enter into their council. Let not my glory be united with their assembly. Because in their anger they slew men, and in their self-will they lamed oxen. Cursed
be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. The next in line, he said, is Judah. But for time's sake, we don't want to read all of that. Let me just add 14 again. Issachar is a strong donkey, lying down between the sheepfolds. When he saw that the resting place was good and that the land was pleasant, he bowed his shoulder to bear burdens and became a slave at forced labor. That's the destiny of Issachar, because it appeared that what he did was to prioritize his comfort according to what his eyes could see. He said this is a pattern that will emerge from that. He will end up as a slave. Now, we began to look at this last time. That's the first in this series. That's the last one. Today will be the second. And our aim is to show that your character matters as a Christian. In fact, I finally chose a title for the series, and I called it The Fullness of Faith. The Fullness of Faith. Faith is not valid until it produces practical actions. And I said, no matter what God has given you as an inheritance, your character can close the shop. You will not attain God's destiny. You will not get into what the inheritance God planned for you if you don't fix the character of your life, if you don't fix your personal character. We are not all the same, but in whichever way we are, we must reflect the image of Christ in our spirits, in our attitudes to everything that we do. If you go and read that book of Philippians, Paul said, let this mind be in you, or let this attitude, if you use a New American Standard, he said this attitude, this mind, that's Philippians chapter 2. So I'm looking at New American Standard here. He said, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant. And all of that. I won't read all of that now. Why I just refer to that is the fact that he said, let this attitude. So what God wants is for us to have the right attitude in every sphere of life. The plan of God is that we must have a right attitude, the right attitude, in every sphere of life. And we're talking about light coming. No, God doesn't give you all the light at a time. It will wear you out. It will burn you out. What it does is to take your life and develop the right attitude in each sphere, one at a time. And that's why you will be on this journey for a long time. You'll be on this journey for a long time. And in fact, it's a journey that will never end. Essentially, as long as you're in this life, it will never end. God reveals a new thing to you each time. You see, Paul say that if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you also. So it happens that we as believers, we have different attitudes in different areas at each point in time. And what God does is to take one area at a time and work on it in your life. So as a Christian, you must be busy as a disciple so that God can work on you. Now listen, I said it last time, let me not forget to repeat it because it's very important. And that's the fact that you will not enter your inheritance until certain things are gotten right. And that what the devil offers all the time is a shortcut. And it's not possible, my understanding of the scriptures and spiritual things, he can't give that which God did not intend for you to have at a particular point in time in your life. He can't. It's not everybody that goes to do juju for money that makes it. A lot of people do juju for money and they fail. They die in the process because it was never their own. Do you follow my point? Yeah. Before God gives his own thing that he planned for you, he takes you through a process. Paul said, when he found me faithful, he committed to me a ministry. So what God is doing to all of us is taking us through a process. Don't worry about being in a hurry and becoming like somebody else. What God is doing in your life is eternal. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, what he's producing is eternal. So he's not in a hurry.
You see, every experience in life is supposed to expose God to you. Do you hear what I say? Yeah, it's supposed to help you understand God more. I'll give you an idea or an example in my own personal life. It was when I got married, I understood some things about God. It was after my first son was born and my children were being born, I learned to relax more than ever before. You know, then, you know, I didn't understand love for children until I had. Understood love. I could love my wife and all of that. But you see, my wife can take care of herself to a large extent. But when these children were born, for the first time I saw people who kind of depended on me for everything. Then I understood the love of God. And I said, God, if you love me half as much as I love these children, then forgive me for worrying. Because I have no business worrying. Only half. Meanwhile, you know, he loves much more than I have the capacity, understanding, or ability to love. Do you get what I'm saying? He loves me much more. But where I'm going is that, you see, fatherhood exposed a part of God to me, built up my faith. And that's what God is doing. If you go out to do business, God is molding you. He didn't send you out to go and make money. He sent you out to be molded. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
If you are somebody's wife, God sent you to be molded. You are somebody's husband. See, Laban was a bad person. Do you know that? He was a dishonest human being. Yet it was necessary in the life of Jacob. Do you know that? As difficult as your wife is, you need her. All the men are laughing. Say, Pastor, I can do without that trouble. You need that trouble. Some of you need to marry an American black woman. Then God will build patience in you until companies will be hiring you as the chief personnel officer. They won't know where you are coming from. If you will live with Laban for a long time, you know what it means to be dishonest to other people. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, you live with Laban for a long time, when you start doing business, you'll be very straight. Because you know how you felt when Laban did this to you. Let me say this thing I said last time. Maybe we'll begin to round up from there. Never resign a job in a hurry. The last thing you should ever do is to get offended in the morning, you resign in the afternoon. That's problem loading for you in life. You got what I'm saying? You never get offended in the morning for whatever reason and resign in the evening. Usually because you want to show them that you don't need this job. That is the real problem in your life. This I don't need this job thing is what God wants. You will need that job. You know, God will make sure you understand that you need that. Now, you don't need the job. But by the time the Lord is done with you. But let's just talk about the main thing. Never. Sometimes you were sent so you could be offended. I don't know whether you heard me. Sometimes you were sent so you could be offended. Let me just quickly tell you, you're working somewhere or you are living somewhere. Never leave the place in a hurry. You're working somewhere, never resign in a hurry. Especially because you're offended. There's a story I heard that time. A man of God was telling the story about his cousin in Abuja, who was working for one big construction company in this country. And it's a foreign, they have this foreign part of it, all right? So they had a European who was the boss. You know, a time came, the man retired or he left anyway. No, he was the next in line. So you know what he expected? Just what you expected. What is it? Promotion. They will now take him and put him on that position. Except that the company, they decided that instead of promoting him to that position, they will bring somebody else. So they brought somebody else to fill the vacant position that the exiting white man, you know, had occupied up to that point. This man was so offended, he was angry. And then he resigned. Number one, please, before we go on to what happened to him, because it was a very bad thing that happened to him after. First, is the company your own? If the other man did not resign, would they have promoted you? Would you have been enjoying your job? So that means your job was okay. Now, let me tell you another thing. Never believe, see, I don't care how convinced you are. Never believe you deserve anything. Never believe you deserve a better pay. Never believe you deserve a particular employment. Never believe you deserve a particular promotion. Never. If you get it, lift up these two hands, give the Lord thanks, then turn to the one that gave you and give him a bottle of wine. And if you know how to prostrate, and the person older than you, Chizoto. That's one Niger Delta language. That's so cool. Ask Pastor Okemute. He will tell you what it means. Do you understand? Prostrate for the man and tell him thank you. Even though you've worked hard and your flesh was thinking you deserve the promotion, tell your flesh you are mad. That's why you are called flesh. Tell your flesh, I put you under. Turn around and be grateful. Now, having said that, let me now tell you some things. You are not as good as you think you are. Do you know everybody that has bragged on how good they are to me have shaken my head that this guy doesn't know how bad he is. You're looking at like, this guy, what are you? What's wrong with you? You were being tolerated all this while. I have found that people can be so... One day, one guy is, that exam, I showed myself, I showed what I was made of. Applying, in my department, when I was in Lagos. The guy was my junior university. So now when I met my chief, I said, this guy was my friend on campus. I knew him on campus, one of our brothers, my junior university. So that guy doesn't even know anything. I said, chief, he gave me his paper. I looked at his idea. I wanted to call him, say, you, come here. Lie down there, let me flog you. He wrote a bundle of nonsense and he came out to tell me that he showed them what he was made of. He was made up of air. Emptiness. My wife used to have one teacher. I'd called my wife and told her that this guy is so bad. You can't allow him to teach finishing students. So just manage him for the early classes until you get somebody. No, I just. But he was hardworking. I said it's compensating. So one day he raised shoulder. And out of something, I've forgotten what. School was started. He refused to resume, thinking they would be called and say, what is going on? They will not come and negotiate. I told my wife, don't call him. He didn't realize that all this while he was being tolerated. I felt he knew nothing. I would look like this guy. You don't know anything. But he didn't know. He didn't think so. I could go on and on and on and on and on. I found that those is called, is this Coppola school theory of stupidity, that the most confident people are the stupid ones. Yeah, no, it's a theory in psychology. That the more ignorant some people are, the more confident they are. We have found that the better people are the greatest self-doubters. But that's why Englishman said, fools rushing where even angels fear to tread. A fool will say, nothing will happen. Angels say, relax, relax, relax. That place is dangerous. Say, waiting will happen. Angel, I'm talking about you and me. Never feel you are too good. Anytime you have that feeling, listen to me, it's a bad feeling. Please, get it into your mind. There are preachers who say that I went for that program. What are they preaching? If they give me the microphone, see, that, just know if you're a preacher, you go for any meeting, just go and sit down with the attitude that I need to learn. Don't be there correcting what they are saying. Do you get my point? You're just feeling too quiet with yourself. See, they're supposed to give me a microphone. I will have destroyed the place. What I need is just 3 minutes. They will know what fire is made of. Brethren, never. See, make it a habit. Humble yourself. You get my point? You must deliberately humble yourself. Anything you get in life, be happy with it. Be grateful, I wanted to say. Be grateful for it. Be grateful. Not feel like, I know where my mate. You not get mate, though. See, if God shows you what he knows about you, I like what the David Paulson said. One time, they were spreading some bad news about him. Everywhere, spoiling his name. She was very angry and went and prayed, Lord, God said, at least they don't know the truth. You're actually worse than the... Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. So the one they are saying may not be correct, but the real truth is worse than the one they are saying. Let's just leave it there. So after that, he kept quiet. So if you say anything to you about him, he said, thank God you don't know the real things. Yeah, that, he said, that's what the Holy Spirit told him. Say, leave them. They don't know the truth. You are worse than... What am I trying to say, brethren? Back to where I began from. Never leave any place in a hurry. Even when you are persecuted, go and pray. Even when another opportunity shows up, go and pray. It's very crucial. This man I was telling you about, you know, I was telling the story. He got angry and resigned. And the person telling the story, his cousin, said next time he went to visit him, he was living in an uncompleted building. Yes. With planks to shut down the elements. The window, there were no windows fixed in the house. I think he was building a house. They left that job in a hurry. Did not get another one. After a while, he couldn't pay his rent. He couldn't continue work on that other one he was doing. But instead of being ejected onto the street, he packed his things and went into a house that didn't have windows. At least he's shielded from the elements. Why? Because he rushed out, you know, out of anger. Why did I go into that? Every place you are in life, God is using it to mold you. That's what we are saying. You should have practiced humility with that place. What should they have done? The new boss comes. And you see, maybe he's a white man. Or a Nigerian like himself. They brought from another company. And you come and say, you're welcome, sir. That's your boss now. You're welcome, sir. See, don't be there to, you know, I'm looking for the word. Sabotage. Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Don't try to sabotage so as to prove. Put in your best. If he doesn't know the job you are doing, teach him. You're welcome, sir. Okay. He said, yeah, what would you normally, you're the boss now, I'll be reporting to you. Is it okay? I normally get here by 7:45 in the morning because I know the boss will come by 8 so I can get things ready. What would you like to get ready in the morning? Brief him quickly, quickly, quickly. Bring him up to speed. Now, what I want to say is not the reason why you should do that. You should do that because it's the right thing to do. But sometimes the guy will just look and say, why did you guys bring me here? This man can handle the work now. He will not be the one to promote you if you should be promoted. But you know what I found out? People like that, like I was telling you, they are not as good as they think. See, any man that you get is not as good as he thinks. My wife also had another staff one time. When she used to run, there was some particular business she and her friends used to run. That guy was the most interesting one. Interesting fellow. They were a sales company, you know, educational and sales. So they said, look, you are salespeople. You are not doing your... So one day, Sha, make a long story short. The director now decided, okay, going forward... We'll give you products. Do you get my point? You do sales. You understand what I'm saying? They say, okay, we'll give you products. If you don't meet your target, we'll write off some of the products as yours. If you sell it, you get all the money you want. That kind of attitude. Now, he was one of those people that just believed, now, please, if you're a worker, please stop this attitude. That all you want is to hang your name on a roster so they can pay you at the end of the month, whether they do well or they don't do well. That's not right. So, the guy was not doing well. Month in, month out. So that's when the directors now gathered together and said, this is what we are going to do going forward. So the first month they did it, he was expecting money. They just issued him their products and everything and gave him some money and all of that. Hey! The guy made one mistake. I read the letter. Please, go and learn manners. Don't ever write an angry letter to a company you worked with. Never do it. Never. Don't ever put anything in writing angrily. Never, never. Let me just tell you now, it's business, eh? It's a document. Anywhere they show it later, nobody will employ you. Nobody will. Nobody wants a staff like you. They don't care how right you are. One day, one sister, the boss sent a message to me. Somebody I know, I also, it's one of her sisters and all that. She did something. When the man showed me the letter, I called her. After rebuking and abusing her as much as I could, which is what an elder should do. And I told her, I said, you will go back to that man, kneel down, beg him until he gives you the original back. I said, with this letter, you've condemned your whole life, your career. When I saw the letter, I said, you're writing to your elder, you are rebuking him. These are high-ranking people. I said, okay, please, just go there. Go there. Yeah? You will kneel down, beg, say, Oga, I drank that day. The cocaine my neighbor was using, wind blew it into our compound. I inhaled it. I went to buy Utazi. I didn't know it was Igbo they sent. The Utazi, I go buy Utazi, now they give me Igbo. It's not me. It's the evil spirit that my family has been casting out. The man will tell him, what do you want me to do? He says, sir, that original letter, can I have it back? Exactly what she did. And the man gave it back to her. Wow. I said, God save you. And tell him, so God, she didn't keep any copy. No, there are things you don't do. You don't put things down in writing. This guy, he got there, he wrote one long thing. You know, and you know, oh God, please, may God give you sense in this life. May God give, say amen for my own too. God give me sense. He wrote a letter. You know what's inside the letter? That they don't seem to know what he needs. Yeah, yeah. That he has to pay children's school fees. He has to pay his rent. And they are cutting his salary like this. The company complained that you're not meeting your target. You're not doing the work. You're a salesperson. You sit down all day waiting for collateral at the end of the month. And they just insist. They didn't take money. They just say, here are the goods we are marketing. Produce results and get your money. He wrote one letter. He said, they had bet, now listen, this is how I ended the letter. That please, they should credit the balance of his money now or ask, or should understand that this is his resignation letter. My wife's friend was the person manning their personnel and all of that. They sent him 2-paragraph reply. The lady lives in the UK. Your resignation is accepted. Please hand over company property. That's all. Anytime you see my wife, tell her, Madam, God bless you. You know what the reason? She looked at him. He said, my husband, I know this guy. He's broke. He needs this job. Do you know, she was not even trying to persuade him. Say, come, try. Eh? I said, you did try to persuade this guy. She said that he can't afford this raking he's raking. She was one telling me that I know him, that he doesn't have money. Yet he woke up in the morning, and then you ask yourself, say, okay, I will just come out. Ask yourself, okay, what if he says go? Do you have where to go? You didn't make mouth. When we're young, we learned one English adage. Empty barrels make the loudest noise. I have noticed that those empty people, now they can make noise. Do I need this job? They usually need it. My wife felt so sorry. See, my wife said, look, I know him. He's broke. And it's because of that that he was behaving like this. And see, when you're working in a place, you are supposed to give to them more than they are giving you. That's the rule. That's why it's a business. If they give you $100,000, they assume your presence has given them $200,000. Don't forget, the investors have to get money from your work. They are sharing with you. You are doing what you call short. You know what they call short one? You know what short one? Did you play set? Those are spoiled things. Some people are short one, but they don't know they are short one. And they are pretending as if without us, this company can't move forward. Let me just tell you. Every company will move forward without you. You are not the founder. You are not the owner. they moved this forward to employ you. The guy I was telling you about, he resigned in a hurry. And that he not for 2 days, though. This was years later. He was still in depths of poverty. And he was working for one of the biggest Nigerian construction firms. I mean, a company that can, you know the way they are. When they have Europeans heading units there, you know their salary is very good. No, because those guys, they're very insistent. Because they have to report to their country how much they are paying you. And in their own law, they cannot be seen. You are the one doing calculation. They calculate into their own currency. And they say, okay, you are paying these guys 500 euro a month. That is useless. Meanwhile, 500 euro. You know, say. 500 euro. Federal government. But when they are reporting their country, your salary will reflect 500 euro. They can't explain it. Is that kind of come? This man got angry and walked out when he had not started his own. Oh God. I finished my message. Look, I will continue what I wanted to say today next time. But let me just see. You can't go and start a business you have never started before. You never done before. They sack you today, start business tomorrow. That business will sack you too. You are a sacking person. Are you getting my point? Really. People don't know that. So if your boss sacks you, your own business will also sack you. Some people just think it's not just to buy and sell. Go and buy first. And sell first. Let me just advise you. Don't go and borrow money using the only house you have as collateral. Because the way they look, Zenith, GT, all those guys, they will collect it too. You hear what I said? Please, borrow money from your elder brother. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. You get what I'm saying? You won't pay him back. He can't do anything. He can only report it to your mother. But if you go borrow from a commercial bank, they will collect your trustees. You know what they call trustees? Okay, that's a Western Nigerian way of pronouncing trousers. You go collect your trousers. Those guys, they will collect everything from you. You go and do business you've never done before. I guarantee you, you will lose the money. So cool your temper down. Why I went to all of this? God is using everything to change, to shape you, to change you, to improve you, because there's a destiny he prepared for you. He's using everything to shape you, to prepare you, to change you, because there is a destiny he prepared for you. Listen to me. Abraham was called at 75. You can see the entire destiny when you are 80. Just continue your work. Sometimes, listen to this, some people, their destiny. See, those children God gave you. Please, let me add this one to the night close. See, fact, eh? Please, accumulate grace and favor spiritually for your children. It's important. You will suffer sometimes. But in the realm of the spirit, accumulate grace and favor for your children. I know what I'm saying. Make sure that you accumulate what? Grace and favor for your children. Oh, you say, how do you do that? Okay, what I mean is this. Sometimes, for the sake of righteousness, you will suffer loss. Accept it. Is accumulating something that those who connect with you can draw on later. That's what I mean. I said that you can stay. I went to that trying to explain the fact that you can step into the destiny even as an old person. Some people, their destiny is just to prepare life for another set that God will fire through. That's what I mean. Don't see, God thinks in terms of generations. It's not everything you are believing for that will happen in your own lifetime. Please train your children. Teach them the word of God. Teach them righteousness and justice. Abraham's destiny did not manifest in him. All he did was get Isaac. And that satisfied him, because that was a sign that everything that God promised will come to pass. What did Abraham labor for? Until Jesus Christ came, we didn't see it. Many of us see. Let me tell you, your life. See, let me just say something. Eh? See all this? Lay hands and break. That, it doesn't work. Let me just say it like that. You go up to church and say, today I want to destroy. I want to destroy everything that is holding you back. Now it's the front. You'll now be pouring a roll on your head. Let me tell you, it doesn't work. I'm sorry to say it like that. It does not work. See, The real destruction was done in Christ Jesus. The confirmation, and I need to add this one to it, then I close. The confirmation of what was done in Christ, which is what we're talking about, they are the works that your faith is producing. Now, as it produces on a daily basis, each time God gives you light, you walk into that light, despite what it costs you, you've confirmed what God did for you in Christ in that area. Somebody can't lay hands on you and bring that to pass. No. Jesus did that one. What God will now be doing is that every day, for example, he will teach you, like no, he told Abraham, teach them what? Righteousness and justice. I can't lay righteousness and justice on your head. I can't lay it on your hands. I can teach you. Then you will practice it. Every time you practice it, you are activating the blessing of Christ. Do you get my point? So you live a lifestyle that activates the blessings of Christ. Faith that does not manifest in a lifestyle is dead. Is your faith real or not? It depends on whether it produces results or it doesn't. Either it affects the choices you are making or it doesn't. Listen to this. If anybody says, now let me go back to where we began from. If anybody says, I have believed, now let me say something about covenants. No, they are ratified. Even treaties are ratified. Do you know that? You get my point? Yes. For example, God said, I'll make a covenant with you. Until Abraham circumcises himself and his household, there's no covenant. Do you get what I'm saying? There's no covenant. Where am I going? I want to give an example. There's a young girl, a young woman. She has a sugar daddy. She's a normal, she's a young lady, her mid-20s. Then she now goes for a crusade. Sugar daddy rents her a house. She lives there. And then he picks her one and he says, I want to go for a crusade. He drops her there. When will you people finish? Around 10. Then by 9 o'clock, she gives her life to Christ. The conviction comes. Now listen to what I want to say carefully. The conviction comes. Then sugar daddy picks her up at 10. I want to tell you something that people would not like to believe. If she enters that car, she's not yet saved. The salvation is hanging. She goes back to that house, she's not saved yet. Sugar daddy is still staying with her. She never saved. I added it in PG. She never saved. Now listen to me, she's coming to church now regularly. Change to our church uniform. You want to hear the word? She's not yet saved. She has joined the choir. And some foolish pastors, I don't mean like insulting them now, but ignorance. So this sister is committed. And they never bother to ask, that car that drops you on Sunday mornings, is that your brother? Is that your father? Or is that your husband? They conveniently overlooked it, thinking that no, let her just keep coming, she will be saved. See, after a while, you will promote her to assistant church, choir leader, thereby telling her she's okay the way she is, but she was never saved. She answered your altar call. Sorry to say this. She came for your baptism. If God helps you, if you have vision, you will know. If God helps her, if she's really sincere, she will come and tell you the truth. And you, it's a simple thing. God doesn't ask for two things. Only one thing she needs to do. Not two. Is it God makes this life easy? She just go to that house, pack. Or she decides everything that's here is they are the wages of the harlot. So she's not doing. She just goes and leaves. And the man comes, the door is not locked. Calls, where are you? Sorry, I've left that life behind. Hangs up the phone, blocks his number, says, I don't want it again. That's the day she got saved. She's now ratified the covenant. Unfortunately, these days we don't like it. Do you know? You don't understand. In the times of Paul and Peter and co, returning to the synagogue for many of them was a loss of their salvation. Do you know that? Oh, no, Hebrews. What happened was that when they said that those who now depart, They were departing not to the nightclub, but to Judaism. Yes. And they are the ones that the Bible said they crucified the Lord afresh and put him to open shame for return to Judaism. Pastors, listen, teach people the truth. See, you are not saved until your faith provokes certain actions in your life. Many Christians those days, that's why they suffered. Because they were in the village, somebody came and preached. The next festival, they couldn't attend. But these days, we tell them that go for this. So they carry mao. You know what they call mao? They carry mao and put on the head. Mao for Christ. They are not willing to depart from anything that has to do with the culture. I say that to you as I close today. They are not saved. Genuine faith produces actions. Genuine faith produces actions. And until you follow the actions that the faith is dictating, the covenant has not been ratified. Let's bow down our heads. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Okay, now, rather, please, just go back in your mind. Many people have been following this. God said, go back in your mind. Go back. Those points where you made critical decisions, but now you know they were wrong. I'm not saying go and undo. There are things you can't undo. All the Lord is saying, just acknowledge. The key to deliverance is acknowledging. The key to deliverance, say, yes, when I started this business, how we started it was wrong. You will acknowledge. When the Holy Spirit wants to walk and rearrange, sometimes some people have business that they defrauded their partner. They've skimmed everybody out. That was 18 years ago. You have to acknowledge. Sometimes you may have to pay people off. God says, gather this money, call that person, and because there's a foundation here that is festering in your home. It will manifest later on in your lineage. You don't want that to happen. Acknowledge. As we are hearing that, so many people have to acknowledge. Fact, you stole somebody's boyfriend to marry that your husband. Don't worry. Don't worry. That was years ago. That was years ago. Just acknowledge. Maybe that's why he's not agreeing to follow you to church. You say you're giving your life to Christ. He thinks it's a joke. Before the Lord, acknowledge. There are those who are in a city because they want to get away from their father and their mother in dishonor. You need to acknowledge. You may not be able to relocate back, but you just need to acknowledge. Somebody needs to put a call through to his father. Don't apologize. Just greet. Just greet. You've not greeted him, you know, in the last 8 months. Just greet. Just greet. There are people who need to send a witch a present. You know what I call witch? It's your mother, that foolish prophet that God will judge before the end of this year, called a witch for you. You have neglected her for the last many months. Now, see, I give you 15 minutes. All the money that you will have given her, send it now. You have. I don't care what else you plan. I have planned to you. That plan is on suspension. It's 1.5 million. Wire the money. You have the next 15 minutes. We're going to close in a moment. Take your phone and call her and say, how are you doing? I don't care whether she's a witch or not. I'm not even discussing it. If that pastor, you don't know. My mother is really a witch. Let me not tell you what I think of you. I just offer you the deliverance of the Lord. And stop going to that church. Don't listen to that pastor again. He's fake. In this job, he has to be identify witches in your life. As we pray, acknowledge. That's what the Lord is saying.